as follows. We have shir this week. We have a bechina a week from Thursday. So we called it, what do we call it? Nittel tag. I will not be giving shir then Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. You'll have chazara time. I haven't decided about Sunday yet. That may depend upon whether we finished Recha Milsa or not. So we have sort of 3 days to get that done. And the bechina will be excuse me, from the top of Tzadi Tes Amud Beis, I think it was where we left off the last Bechina, the middle of Tzadi Tes Amud Beis, all the way through, the whole one blot, and everything that was involved in that, and then the Sugyan Ketzat Solon and whatever else we did. You already got, I think, a lot of Chazara questions, one installment, so I don't remember where I was up to, but hopefully by the end of this week you'll get the rest of the installments, so you'll have them all next week. Same rules apply to the Chazara questions in terms of working on them. They work them by yourself or with your Chavrusa, and not beyond that. So you can ask me about them, but nobody but you and your Chavrusa. What's that? What did I say? Yes, I meant Tzadi Tesamid Days. Whatever I said, I meant Tzadi Tesamid Days. Okay. Back to our Yerushalmi. I forgot how much I was enjoying not having Yerushalmi. Okay. Sometimes the Yerushalmi only brings you Nachas Ruach and understanding. Sometimes it brings you Agmas Nefesh. Okay, and this belongs to the Agmas Nefesh category. It does bring some understanding. One general note, if you read... methodological question. If the Mefarshim on the page don't satisfy you in reading the Yerushalmi, where might you look to find additional commentaries? One very valuable source. Yeah? Yefei Naim can sometimes provide commentaries, true, but that's only if there's, you know, truly a good parallel in the Bavli. There isn't really for the first part of this Yerushalmi. Okay, what else? There's another very important place to look. If they have a commentary, if they reach this far in Yerushalmi, it may be worth looking at if you're desperate. I don't mean that in the next. In other words, you start digging all sorts of places, maybe somebody will say something. But the problem with using art scrolls, in all likelihood, they are likely to use the Mefarshim on the page. They're going to quote them, and I suspect they're rarely going to move beyond that. There is another place... I didn't hear that, but I'll just let it go. The other place to look, yeah.
Let's say, like some of the Rishonim quoted.
Well, yeah, but the question is, knowing where Rishonim quoted is can be very tricky, right, if it's not on your sugya. But there's one Rishon who has a lot of commentary on the Yerushalmi. What's that? No, you know, there is somebody. That's a Likut, really. It's not a Ramban's commentary on the Yerushalmi, but I saw that recently. I don't know if they've done it on all Yerushalmi. That's just collecting. It's useful. Now, that at least solves the indexing problem for you. It goes through the Ramban and collects all the places he comments, quotes the Yerushalmi, and whatever comments on it. So that's the, you know, so that's the type of thing. But the one Rishon who systematically deals with a lot of Yerushalmi, not all of it, is the Rash. In his Perush Mishnayos on Zrayim and Taros, in Zrayim in particular, there's no Yerushalmi on Taros. So the Rash deals with these things. It happens to be here that on the Mishnah in Machshirin, he has, not enough to really solve our problems, but he does have a couple of comments that maybe are a little bit helpful. But that's a place, it's not going to turn out here to be a treasure trove, but it happens to be a place that you should be aware of. You forget, you're thinking, okay, I don't like what's being said here. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. Is there another Perush? It happens to be a treasure trove of yourselves as well. One of the things, I forget who points this out, it might have been Ginsberg in his Mavali Yerushalmi, where it's an excellent introduction to the Yerushalmi. It's in Hebrew. He started writing a comment. He did on the first five Prakim of Brachos. He wrote commentary as well, but he wrote a Mavo. And I don't know if it's there, he's the one who talks about that there was one group of Rishonim that had a particular interest in the Yerushalmi, and that was Chassidei Ashkenaz. And they quote a lot of Yerushalmi, the Arzarua, the Raviyah, and it's a very valuable resource in terms of Gersos and the Yerushalmi. The only tricky thing with these Rishonim is that you have to know when the quotation ends and the Perush begins. much like the difficulty with the Gemara and the Bahag, right, of the material that got incorporated in there. But that's another place, but again, that's harder to find, you know, what you're looking for, because it's not organized Al Pi Seder, HaYerushalmi, whatever it is, that they use a lot of Yerushalmi. But the Rash, at least, you have a good idea of where you're looking. If you're doing something in Zeraim, you just look in the Rash, and the Peir Shemeshnai is there, because he quotes Tosefta, and he quotes Yerushalmi. Okay. Anyway, now, going back to our problems yesterday, so firstly, the Girsa and Ksav Yad Leiden is Rabbi Yehuda, despite the fact that it has a hay in it. I believe it does in the Ksav Yad, is that right? I believe it does. It is Rabbi Yehuda. So, we have a parallel structure set up here. I'm going to read the Yerushalmi as follows. I'm going to make one simple, not substantive emendation right now, but there might be more to come. Yerushalmi in the hands of the Achronim and the commentators is like silly putty. Ma de'omar Reish Lakish. Omer, ma de'omar Reish Lakish Omer, mayim osin peros. I'm starting with the word comma. I would say, ma de'omar Reish Lakish, mayim osin peros, umashkin ein osin peros, dilaku Rabbi Yehuda. Ela, Reb Shimon Lakish Omer, mayim osin peros, v'chaserin, umashkin osin peros, ve'einan chaserin. I think there's a parallel structure here. Now, the question is, what does it mean? What does it mean, Mayan Osim Peros? And Mashkenos in Paris. What does that expression mean? Yeah? Okay, so I wish to say, with no disrespect meant to Pene Moshe, I think that interpretation is ridiculous. It doesn't match Mishnei Hebrew. The Mishnah will say Harezeh Bechiyutan. It never says Osim Peros Bechiyutan. I don't think that's all what it means. What does it mean, Mayanos and Peros?
It transfers the status to them, like, kind of like the wine in the.
It makes them royal the Padal Toma. Okay.
Stop for yourselves for 1 second and think about, if you weren't looking in this Yerushalmi, what would the term mean? Mayim osim peros, mashkim osim peros mean?
It makes them things.
Makes them tummy.
Right. It makes them. It makes them tummy. It gives them status.
Gets bigger.
No. The only person. Ben, you. I don't know if you were thinking the right thing. You said something that might be correct.
Osim peros means that it grows.
No.
So you can water plants with
water
them?
And makes them bigger?
No.
Makes them taste better?
Water produces fruit. Not what you. Doesn't mean, this has nothing to do with being Mashir Peros and Mashir Ochlin. Water produces offspring. What does that mean? It means when you have water below something, what does the water do? It gives off water. Mashkimos and Peros means the same thing. The question is, in Reish Lakish's second Lashon, when it does such a thing, is it Chaser or not? The Peros here, I think, have nothing to do with the being Mashir Peros.
This is the Peros of the water?
Correct! Yeah. Every time, everywhere else, this is the only place the expression is used in this context. Everywhere else in rabbinic literature where the term is osim peros. Munbaz, I think, particularly relevant to current events. Munbaz, who was mevazbeis his otzros, b'shnas ravon. So Munbaz said that I forget the expression, he accumulated things that are osim peros. He says, avosai gonzu dvarm she'enam osim peros, vanigo nasti dvarm she'osim peros, right? because elu dvarim she'adam ochel perosem ba'olam hazev akher kiyam solabad. It's gemilos chasadim. It's osin peros. It produces. You do something and it produces more. It produces more. Osin peros, they talk about in the context of living things, things that are osin peros. Mayim osin peros and mashkos peros has nothing to do with chiyutam. We move past machshirin in many ways. I mean, we're not thinking about that Mishnah. We're thinking about whether or not when you have a bread piece on top, does water make peros or not? It could be relevant for hechsher. It could be relevant. I mean, remember, it depends which case you're looking at. We're dealing with pas. You're thinking the previous Mishnah, which dealt with a chavis malaya mashkin, which you put in the peros, or a chavis malaya peros, which you put in the mashkin, right? I don't think we're dealing with that anymore. Look at the case that's invoked with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's case is like the pas chama on top of the chavis. Right, that's what the case is. They used to put it on top of this muryas, and it absorbed, and that was the shayla. I think what we're dealing with is whether or not when you have exposed liquid, whether it produces. And that's why there's a question whether it's chaserin or not. I think that's the pashut reading of the Yerushalmi. Now, you still have to make some sense of this, but that's true no matter what. But peros. Right? Peros are, what do human beings produce? Little human beings. What are giraffes produce?
No,
little giraffes
produce mice and toad.
What? What does water produce? What the mashkin produce? If there are some peros?
Little water.
Condensation.
There you go. Oh, you found the remez in the Yerushalmi. You see the head ruach hakodesh. There you go. Okay, fine. I want you to think about it for a second, but I think that's what the expression means. I think in context, it fits the general context. That's what I think osin peros means.
What is the
kama
doing
before? First, I want to amend that to mad the amar reish lakish, like mad the amar of Yochanan afterwards. Now, the only downside, but the truth is, you have to do emendations no matter what. So that's why I said, you know, may as well take out the pen and start writing. And the ksav yad here is of no help, or erasing. So then I think what you have is as follows. If in fact the assumption is Reish Lakish said something and the Yerushalmi puzzled and said the Laka Rabbi Yehuda, he made a statement just like on Rabbi Yochanan, they wondered the Laka Rabbi Yehuda. Now why they bothered by the Shinako like Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe the Gemara that Yerushalmi thought when only Pascha like Rabbi Yehuda gets from here. I don't know exactly why, but even if it's okay, they're asking the question. So then what would Reish Lakish really have had to have said? And by the way, this is the same problem for Tanei Moshe, but I'm going to amend differently than he did. Right? The problem is that the Laka Rabbi Yehuda, he has to double up in order for it to make sense. Because what Reish Lakish said, whether you would take my interpretation of Osin Peros or not, what Reish Lakish said seems to be like Rabbi Yehuda, that Mashkin, maybe Mashkin Osin Peros, but Mayim Osin Peros, but Mashkin Manan Osin Peros. So, I would prefer to amend simply that Reish Lakish said something like, Mayim Enos Imperos Mashkinos Imperos. In which case, it's against Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says that Mashkim are also not Osaperos. Right? Because Rabbi Yehuda says that if you put hot bread on top of a barrel of wine, the wine doesn't make Peros, because if it made Peros, it would be absorbed into the bread. So that's why the Yerushalmi turns around and says, "No, Ella." What Reish Lakish really said was that it's a machlokas. Mayim osim peros u'mashkin mayim osim peros v'chaserin u'mashkin osim peros v'en chaserin. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer ain mashkin osim peros kol ikar. Reish Lakish says that the Chachamim agree there is a distinction between mayim and shar mashkim, but the distinction for the Chachamim is simply whether it's chaserin, but it makes peros. And Rabbi Yehuda says no. The fact that mashkim or maybe are not the fact that they're not chaserim means that they're not osim peros. Because if they were osim peros, they'd be chaserim. You don't have to accept that last little twist that I'm putting in there. Just, you know.
It would be nice. It would be more scientific.
Okay, right. It sounds better, but you don't have to say that way. And as you come with it, the details you can fill in. But in terms of what the structure of the Yerushalmi is doing, I think that's what's going on here. And then they say, Umadar Rabbi Yochanan, Kishayin Olchum, Eitzer Rabbi Shai, Rabbi Kisaran Lumotora. So we would put our some type of food on top of the kabutin of this murias, of this brine, vayinu tomo, ta murias, and we could taste the murias. It must be the luck of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says that mashkin the meaning of Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is that mashkin and anos and peros. And the Yushalmi's answer, ma'alumen hayu. I think, what does Ksav Yeladin have, Ari? Ma'alimen. So the way it's reasonable, Pnei Moshe explains that it fit really tightly. In other words, it's one thing to put bread on top, but here, when you sort of stuffed it in or something like that, where it plugged up the hole, then it really absorbed. Something like that. Maybe it means they put it in further, and that's why I received it. And then the Yushalmi just asked the question, v'zinat osim yishum geza balabayis. Fine, that's very nice, but why did you do this? You're stealing from the Bala Moryas, because your bread is absorbing his Moryas. Which, by the way, again, I should note, is proof of what? That we are dealing with here what? We're not dealing just with Reach. I don't think it's Usser. I know it's not Usser. If you ever go outside a bakery, you know, especially early in the morning, it smells really good. Right? What's that?
I get 5 a.m.
There was a time I used to run by the bakery, and it happened to be very early in the morning, and you realize how early they get up, and you'd smell it from across the street from Butterflake, for the people who know Tina, and sort of like you just wanted to stop there. Of course, not carrying any money. You want to stop there and go in and buy something. They're not open either, but it smells so good. So let me ask you a question. Do I have to go later in the day and, you know, give the owner Butterflake a couple of dollars for the reach? Yes, of course, then. That's ridiculous. It's not Zen and Zalachasa. It's a Davashe Mamamish.
I really think it's an advertisement for them that they specifically make it smell better so it'll go away.
So for the guys at 5 o'clock in the morning, right? For the three joggers running by, right, who probably don't want to eat the food anyway because it's, you know,
no,
most of the good stuff is
the
good
day,
food.
Like,
whatever. Anyway, Ari.
So this is the answer to Cordwell.
Let's not go there yet. That's apropos to our entire discussion this morning, right? Not just this line. Agreed. Well, let's wait till to deal with the sugya. But yes, you're correct. Okay. Fine. Now, what part of the Mishnah have we been addressing so far?
The first part.
There are two parts, but pas. Now we continue. May I have... Are there any questions about... Let me make the following observation. You might disagree with my interpretation, but the first and most important thing is to figure out what the structure of the Yushalmi is, and I think that what I presented is the most obvious and simple structure in terms of the Yushalmi. A. B, you have to figure out what Enos and Peiros mean. Os and Peiros means, and if you don't like my suggestion, you better have a better one, because I don't think the Pnei Moshe's suggestion is better than mine. Maybe I'm not right, but based upon this usage throughout the rest of rabbinic literature, I think I am. And mine fits the context just as well. But if you want to posit something else, that's okay too. Okay, questions. Hi.
Within your definition of peros, what is the chaserim?
Well, what happens when you have wine and you leave it uncovered and it's wafting and it's absorbed by other things? The volume drops. It's chaserim.
Okay. So why is the fruit juice, why is the mashkin a low chaserim?
Why, according to according to the Chachamim, I don't know. How they believe that it's absorbed but not chaser, I don't know.
Okay.
Now, the only thing I can guess, Chaim, but this still, in other words, I could really be clever and say the following has, but I don't think this is correct. Say along the following lines: if you leave water there and you leave it open and you come back at a certain point, you're going to see that some of the water has evaporated. And the truth is, when it's cold, usually it's going to be hardly noticeable. But if a little bit of warmth, water does slowly evaporate. And you will, you know, leave an open bottle of water. I mean, it's not usually enough in this type of context, but if it has some type of warmth, you know, and you leave it open, especially if it's broad, you come back in a month, and a lot of that water may be gone. It may have even dried up. So there may have been a perception that the water evaporates. They may not have realized that the other liquids are evaporating, and it's also not as obvious in another sense. Water, all there is the volume. That's all there is that distinguishes the water. Whereas the other fruits, it looks like, I don't know, maybe they thought the fruit just looked like it's still there. It is still there. I mean, the truth is, the fruit just always remains there. It's the concentrate always remains there. It's the water that's evaporated. So, so in some sense, it is true that mashkin, they both owe simperos, but mayim are chaserim, because all that's to be chaser in the mayim is mayim. Whereas the mashkin, they may be chaserim in volume, but the strength is still there. I'm not sure that's really what they're saying, but that's a cute scientific explanation. Right? That doesn't sound like it. It sounds like, to me, their perception was that they recognized that the volume of the water was declining, but they didn't acknowledge that the volume of the... They didn't see the volume of the fruit juice declining. And therefore, I mean, is there a different boiling point? I don't think so.
Yeah, there will be a different boiling point.
Is it higher?
It's actually going to be lower.
Ah, so you see that what? Fruit juice?
Oh, you're right, yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh,
right,
so
yeah,
perfect!
I'm sorry, you're right, yeah.
There you go. That would explain why, if fruit juice have a higher boiling point, it would be why water, if you left the same amount, theoretically, water would evaporate faster than the fruit juices would. In which case, if that's true, then you, what?
Right, it's really nothing.
Okay, but it still might. You have to do, you know, you, at the right temperature, you might actually produce a difference. I'm guessing,
right,
they perceive something.
That's a fair observation. I mean, even if you didn't know the science behind it, that's a fair observation to make. If you were just observing water and juice, you'd say water is not substantial. Juice is substantial. It probably doesn't leave as fast.
But if in fact it happens in Matthias at a different rate. You know, and they might have observed, they might have thought that way. So they're arguing, what's the explanation? So one of them says that the mashkim are osim peros, it's just that they're not chaserim, whereas the mayim are osim peros but chaserim. Right? And Rabbi Yehuda says, what are you talking about? If it's not chaser, it's not making peros. These are not little H2Os reproducing with other H2Os, right? You need to have separate, what would H2Os do if mixed swimming is usser? Okay, then.
So in the case of the heat, clearly the heat wouldn't affect it until it's very, very hot.
The truth is, if you raise water's temperature, if you take water at 100 degrees Fahrenheit versus at 70 degrees Fahrenheit, it's going to evaporate much faster.
And the juice, I don't know. But either way, when it's becoming chaser. If it's being depleted, then because it's evaporating, so then the peros, if you're trying to catch the peros, it's going to be condensation.
Right. Well, the assumption is it's absorbed into the bread. It's wherever. Yeah. It's condensation. Yes. Okay.
If the barrel is closed, that won't leave. But if the barrel is open, then it will leave.
Yes, but the assumption was that if you put something on top, some of it might be absorbed into the barrel. That was the discussion in the earlier part. Will it go through the roof and into the bread that's on top of it? But one other note, there is a Tosefta. The other place, of course, to have looked, which I did, is the Tosefta in Mashir, and the Tosefta only adds one interesting detail, which at least dovetails with what we said yesterday, that is the din of Mishnah Beis there, that when you put a barrel with mashkim in it and fruits, or vice versa, that you can have hechsher is only by earthenware barrels. It doesn't apply by other kinds of materials, which makes sense because earthenware is more porous. Yes, it will seep a little bit more through. Okay, fine. Now, next passage in the Yerushalmi. Who would like to read? AJ? Did you get this far or no? No, okay. Oh, that's fine. You were learning the whole time. I have no time to this whatsoever. Okay. Who would like to read, continuing the Yerushalmi?
I'll do it, yeah.
Okay, go ahead. That was not a complaint against yesterday's reader. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, where are we starting?
So now we're up to Chitin Milamatan.
Okay. Chitin Milamatan v'saurin milamalan k'shem she'en ha'chitim sho'avos kach en ha'saurim sho'avos.
Saorin
milamatan v'chitim milamalon k'shem sha'saorin shavos kach achitim shavos.
Okay, now this is obviously explaining
Rabbi Yosef Shita.
Rabbi Yosef says that if you put two pieces of bread on top of this barrel, on the lower one it draws the liquid towards it, it winds up in both. If the lower one doesn't have the property of drawing the water towards the name of the chitim, then neither of them is asr.
Is that really the case that Rabbi Yosef is talking about, though? It seems like Rabbi Yosef is just saying if you have a bread made out of chitim, and then it's okay. If it's a bread made out of sarim,
no. The Yerushalmi is not explaining the Mishnah; it's commenting further.
Okay.
And what would the din be according to Rabbi Yosef if you had two pieces of bread and you put one on top of the other? That's all.
Right.
Okay. Next.
Mahu. So I guess
no.
What?
And a period. Mahu.
Mahu litzlos shnei shikudim. Echad shal basar shkuta, echad shal basar nevela, batanur.
Ooh. Now, what is this going on? What is this doing here? Yeah, this is very important, actually. See, when I first read it, my assumption was this is a continuation of the previous discussion. Why? Because the discussion of pas on top of the barrel is, of course, a discussion of Recha Milsa. And now they're quoting another piece of Recha Milsa. Now, how does the Gemara tie this piece into the previous discussion? In what way does it tie it in?
Well, you're dealing with two things cooking.
Ari? It doesn't. It doesn't tie it in. It doesn't draw any connections. It doesn't attach Rav or Levi to any of the shitas of the Tanaim before. It doesn't. Now, why not? And what's it doing here then? And then I realized when I looked to see how the Pnei Moshe would deal with this, you looked over to the side and what do you see? That it's on the next Mishnah. Which, in fact, now you can have you show me what they did with the Mishnayos, you know, was a churva. In terms of how they distribute them, where they put them, the editing is an absolute disaster. But in this particular case, they did get it right. If you look in my Yerushalmi, at least, I assume some of the others, Halacha Dala, which is Tanur Shisiko Bekamon, is now placed here, and then you have Mahu Litzlos.
The Bar-Lan
which
has that too.
What's that?
It's in the Bar-Lan
also. Okay. But not in the printed text of the Yerushalmi itself. And so that started me thinking and realizing, hey, wait, for the Yerushalmi, these two discussions are completely and totally unrelated to one another. The common denominator is that you don't mix the two foods directly. You don't have mamish and tarobas. But Mishnah Gimel and Mishnah Dalet have absolutely nothing to do with one another. And the discussion of Rav and Levi is relevant to Kamon Shisiku Botanur. It has nothing to do with the machlokes of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and so on and so forth.
Which we also said about the Mishnah itself.
We raise that possibility in the Mishnah, but here it's more explicit in the way the Yerushalmi handles or doesn't handle things, that they recognize such a distinction, that in no way are Rav and Levi connected to Paschama Sheni Chapi, you know, Chavis. Okay, now what is the Machlokes? And now they say Mahu Litzlos Shnei Shipud Demechad Shavaser Shchuta Vechad Shavaser Nevei Levitan Rechad. Go ahead.
Rav Yomi Amar B'Shem Rav Asir V'Shmuel Amar B'Shem Levi Mutar.
Okay, and I think in the Ksav Yad Ari pointed out that B'Shem Amar B'Shem Levi is in the margins. Right. I suspect that it's a scribal error that he's correcting, not, although I don't know, not that he made this up on his own.
B'Shem Levi shouldn't be there?
Mm-mm.
No, it shouldn't. Okay.
It probably is.
Oh, it is.
Why do I think it probably is? What? Because in the Bavli, it's Rav and Levi.
Also, in this paragraph, there's some other...
Now, of course, one could argue that that's the reason why someone put it in Mishum Levi, because they wanted to make a match with Bavli. But it's hard to know.
Weren't Shmuel and Levi contemporaries?
Rav and Levi were contemporaries.
That's what I'm saying. So Shmuel
is a little younger than Rav.
Yeah, but why would he need to say B'Shem Levi?
Because he's quoting Levi.
Heard
it from Levi.
Okay. I was always under the impression that when it says B'Shem somebody, it usually means the B'Shem guy is dead or not around anymore.
Well, probably Levi predeceased Shmuel.
Okay.
I mean, my guess is that Levi was older than Rav as well, but I don't have evidence to that. It's just because Levi had his own mission and Rav didn't.
Okay.
As far as I know, at least.
Levi had his own mission, what is that?
Well, Levi was, if you had to invent history, you know, if you were writing a classical Jewish history and you were writing about the authorship of the Mishnah, and you weren't just going to write, well, Rebbe wrote the Mishnah, you know, based upon one Gemara or two that maybe don't really say that Rebbe wrote the Mishnah. So if you were to say that it was Rebbe Ubeis Dino, Rebbe Ubeis Midrasha that wrote the Mishnah, who would be the members of his Beis Midrash that you would pick to be authors of the Mishnah? Levi would have been one of them, because Levi seems to have his own copy of the Mishnah that he edits. he makes certain changes. Like the first Mishnah Yavam was the 15 Nashim, Levi had 16. He had 16 in the first Mishnah and 5 in the second, as opposed to 15 and 6 in the second, right? Because those of you who learn Yavamos know Chamesha Esrei Nashim, Osros Tarasayim, but Levi had Sheshes Esrei Nashim, right? And the Gemara says that he put that in his Mishnah. So, and that's not the only place. You know, Levi was a very close...
Is it a substantive difference between 15 and 16?
What?
It's
irrelevant. It's substantive. It's one particular din that's focused on. Levi seems to have been a member of the inner circle of Rebbe. How did Levi pull his hamstring? Achve kida kame Rebbe v'itla. Right? It was either because he tiach dorim klape mala, or because achve kida. Right? He tried to show kida in front of Yidu Kida in front of Rebbe, and he pulled a hamstring. It's some type of bowing. I forget what type of bowing it is.
Did he say he had a moral flaw?
That the Gemara gives both. My point is that the fact that Levi would be doing such a thing in front of Rebbe, you know, indicates that it wasn't just someone who knew Rebbe, and it wasn't in the public drusha that Rebbe got up there. That Levi got up there to do this. It's obviously someone who was in Rebbe's inner circle. So that's why it's very Levi may have been older than even Rav. I don't know for sure.
Right, no, I was just under the impression that usually b'shames because otherwise.
In the Bavli, you may have that a little bit more when you see Mishum, which is the same thing as Mishem. Often, you know, when it's Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, obviously Rabbi Yochanan never met Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and it means there's a chain of transmission in between. But I don't know if that's true in the Yushalmi.
Okay.
Go ahead. So Rav said. Rav said Aser, and Shmuel said Mutter. Now, going back to a comment that we discussed, a line in Rashi, I think it was in Rashi in the Bavli, we asked the question, in the Bavli presented the Machlokas slightly differently. How did the Bavli present it differently? It did add in those details, it's true, but there was another important difference in the presentation, Ari. I'm sorry?
My timeline,
do you
have a reason for each?
Oh, okay, no, but I mean there's a difference in the presentation of the Shittos of Rav and Levi themselves. Forget the Peirush HaGemara, Peirush HaBavli. The way it was presented, you said, somebody just said something about the Basar, but it wasn't just the specifics, there was more than that, Shalom.
The way the Bavli explains them, what is the Fatmehadani and what is Rehabavli?
Forget the Peirush of the Bavli, just in the presentation of what they said.
Sure. Different than Rav.
I mentioned this, but you didn't catch it when I said it. We discussed this. No.
Didn't
that's Peirush at the Bavli. Go back. Someone have a Pesachim in front of them.
Yeah.
Intrud Ari, read it from the bottom of in Hamid Beis. Forget my time. I'll leave that out. I don't need it. Thank you. I don't know. Okay, what's the difference between these two?
Levi never says Rav Rav Milson.
Forget the Peirush of Bavli.
Each one is saying their din in a different case.
No.
Each one rules us or a mother. Each one is giving their own.
Right. You did say that. Yeah. Recha Milta and Mefar Min HaZadi are two.
I know that. No, you guys are missing the obvious. And I made a point of this when we read that. The question in the Yushalmi is it mutter to be tzola shnei shipudim? What's the question in the Bavli? Or shkuta nevela together? What's the question? What? You guys have a remarkable ability. We all do. It's not just you. To miss the far. What? Yes, and what's the difference between the two? I should pull my hair out because we discussed this already. One of them is l'chatchila, one of them is b'di'eved. In the Bavli, it says that basar x, basar nevela, shetzlo and basar shchuta, rav amar aser, levi amar mutter. The question is, what's the status of the basar? It doesn't mean it's mutter l'chatchila to do so necessarily. That's why Rashi, who paskins like Levi, I believe Rashi is the one who says, it's also to do l'chatchila, but it's mutter b'dievad we paskin like Levi. In the Yerushalmi, the question is, mahu litzlo shnei shipudim? It could even be that Rav holds it's mutter to eat, it's just also to do l'chatchila, but b'dievad it's mutter to eat. So leave that, strip out all the extraneous stuff. Just the presentation. The Bavli's case is basar shchuta shetzla'o in basar nevela. The Yushalmi's is mahu litzlos basar shchuta in basar nevela. This is one of the rayas, I think, that the Ran brings, or one of the Rishonim brings against Rashi, against Shitas Rashi. And the Ran says, you can't say that it's a b'di'evet according to Levi, because the Yushalmi is explicit that it's l'chatchila.
Didn't we say anyway that it sounds like Levi could be the chatchila?
It could be, you can't tell from the Bavli. All you know from the Bavli for sure is that Rav holds it's Aser B'dievet. All you know from the Yushalmi for sure is that Levi holds it's Motor L'chatchila. That's the way it works. Because if you ask the L'chatchila question and one says Aser and Mutter, you know the Matir holds it's Motor L'chatchila, the Oser might only be Oser L'chatchila, but maybe not B'dievet. But in the Bavli's context, it asks the B'dievet question. So when Rav says Aser, it means Aser, really. And Levi, who says mutter, it could be that it's mutter once you did it, but not mutter l'chatchila to do it.
Then he passed in that way at the.
And it could be, of course.
His house.
No.
That would still be the Evan.
That would still be the Evan.
It did happen, I guess.
It happened. Uv dahava, right? Levi avar uvda. So we explain that just means he passed in the shaila. It doesn't mean that he told them, go cook the pork with the meat.
Oh, but the fact that the Gemara asked from Levi, we said, shows that it takes his comment to be l'chatchila, because otherwise it would have a different question.
We had a comment, yes we did. What was our proof?
Because the fact that the Gemara asked the question from Levi.
Yes, the Gemara, the Kasha from the Tosefta would have been Araya, would not have been a raya against Levi, since the Tosefta is only talking about a l'chatchila case.
So we determined that Levi really was l'chatchila.
It's mashma from the Kitidyah Shashaka Vatari, yes. But it's from the presentation itself, it wasn't clear, and a raya is that some Rishonim. In other words, you know what the answer could have been? What could the answer be? Ben has pointed out, we brought a raya when we read the Gemara. The Gemara asked the kasha from Levi that ain solin shnei psachim mitanar echad. So what's the kasha against Levi? That's l'chatchila, but the evidence might be mutter. So why is that not absolutely a raya? And the way that the Yushalmi is a raya, of course, the Yushalmi is not a raya with the Bavli holds. The Yushalmi is just a raya as you know what Levi holds. You know, again, it could be a machlokas. Although if the Bavli is stam sasum, then the Yushalmi is mefurash. There's no reason not to assume that the Yushalmi is machlokas is correct. But why? How could you answer off the raya that we brought? When we read reading the Bavli, the Gemara asked the kasha from the Tosefta against Levi that ain solin shnei psachim mitanarecha. So why, if Levi held that it was only mutter b'dieved, but it was also l'chatchila, how is the Brisa disprove him? You would agree that ain solin shnei psachim mitanarecha. So what's the teretz? Yeah.
You can ask any question you want if you have a better one.
You're saying it wrong, but yes.
If you ask one question and you had a better question to ask, you have to ask as long as
there's
you
there's a code word for this. What's the code word that Tosfos uses?
No.
That the Gemara could have said something else, but it already gives it teretz, means, what's that? Litamech. The Gemara could have said, is it really Akasha? The Gemara had another teretz for Levi. So, litamech is not an optimal answer, but when you're forced against the wall, you could say the Gemara could have asked another kasha, or the Gemara could have given a different teretz. So it's not an absolute riot, but the Yushalmi, at least in its presentation, is very clear that the question was, is it mutter to do so? The answer is asur mutter, and therefore, according to the Yushalmi, it's yitachin, although it doesn't have to be, that Rav would hold that it's mutter b'di'evet. So it could very well, and it could be, of course, the machlokas is across the board.
Well, okay, so but the Yushalmi certainly can defend our litamech.
Okay, continue now. So, Masnisa, Pliga.
Pliga Masnisa, al Rav.
If I had to amend the text here, I would have reversed those words, and I said, usually it's in the Yushalmi.
Okay.
The following Brisa argues against Rav.
Ein solin shnei psachim batanur echad mipnei atarovos.
Period.
Okay. Lo amru, ella mipnei atarovos.
What does the word tarovis mean according to the Yushalmi? Add one word of perish if you were putting the Bava in the Yerushalmi, Taroves Gufin. Right? The Yerushalmi didn't assume that there was such a thing as Taroves Tamim. In other words, in the Brice, it assumed that Taroves meant mixing the two Karbanos Pesach up. Mixing them up with one another, and you would eat the wrong Pesach. So therefore, Mne'ah Taroves in, Shalom Ne'ah Taroves, if not for the fact that we're concerned that you're going to get the wrong Pesach, we won't be concerned about cooking them at the same time. Why? Because there's no concern about cooking two things in the same oven. How does the Yerushalmi answer this question, answer of? It doesn't. Kedayko b'kodesh. Right? The Bavli asked the exact same question. Ultimately, it gets to the same place against Rav. Then it fetches.
Why isn't the Mishnah? I mean, the case that's quoting here, the Litzlos Neishibudina Chachal Basar Shkutal Chachal Basar Nevela.
Yeah.
Why is that any different than? Why is that not a case of Tarav Skufin?
You mean, why are we not concerned
they
about
mix
Tarav
up the body?
Skufin?
Right. Yeah. We'll mix up the body of the Shkuta and the body of the Nevela. Presumably, it's the same thing. You know.
That's a very clever suggestion. Maybe Rav really holds that you're not allowed to be Tzola only because Tarov is Gufin even. Except, so the answer may be...
Clearly the Stam here is assuming that it's not, that you can't mix the two up.
Assuming it's not going to happen.
Right.
Assuming it's a unique thing by Pesach, we're particularly concerned by Pesach. But, you know, you might say that they assume that by Pesach we're more concerned because since they're both Heter, and people will maybe be more mezalzik, so say, oh, what's the difference? God doesn't care. I'm eating his carbon Pesach anyway. Oh, that I'm eating Shalom the Nuyav. Oh, no. Whereas by Nevela and Kshera, in addition, it could well be the Nevela and Kshera are two different, you know, kinds of, two completely different things. Whereas the carbon Pesach is very likely, there are only two possibilities for carbon Pesach. Now, it might be that a Tzle, and by the way, what is the Tosefta talking about? Is it talking about two of the same animal or two different animals?
There's only two of the same.
Two of the same, because then it says, Afilu Gediyu Tle, they didn't even want you to do. But the original statement is by two of the same, and the assumption is because there it's very easy to confuse. It may be that by Shchut and Nevela, it's easier to tell them apart just because, you know the way they were prepared, or something like that. Well, you don't have the whole animal, presumably. Right. You're dealing with a piece of meat, but it may just be that the way it was prepared differently, or something like that, or it could have been two different animals for that matter.
I just asked this because in Chulin, when we were dealing with Nevela and Kshera, it was treating it as if it was Mimimino.
I understand. So, I would probably say that they only made Xera specifically by Karban Pesach. Maybe they assumed that people would be much more careful not to confuse them by Nevela and Shkuta because people intuitively realize that the stakes are higher. Harry?
You see, maybe the fact that here he doesn't talk about Shame and Tatbush, maybe there's no issue with Re'ah, maybe an issue with Re'ah or something? I mean.
That's very good. Somebody says that. The Rashba maybe says that. He wants to be Doha this Yerushalmi from consideration. So somebody says that, actually. Who says that since it doesn't say Kusha and Shame. I am disinclined, however, to believe that that's what the Yerushalmi is doing, because I regard that as we explained the Bavli, I think the whole Shemena Kusha is an overlay of the Bavli. In other words, it's the Bavli's understanding of the Machlokas of Rav and Levi, and there's no reason to assume the Yerushalmi would necessarily disagree. In other words, the Yerushalmi says Stam. The Yerushalmi says Stam. If you read the Yerushalmi, my assumption would be,
you would invent Kusha and Shemena?
No, I would say it doesn't make a difference what they are. The interesting thing is that the Bavli is both. The Bavli is a little bit. The Yerushalmi, in one sense, is more Machmir. It's more Machmir in one case, because according to Rav, when you have Kusha and Kusha, according to Rav, the din would be that it would be Mutter, right? Because it's only if one, at least one of them is Shemena.
Why would you even think of bringing all those things in if it doesn't mean.
The Yerushalmi clearly understands this is an issue of Reach. Why? Because it puts it on the mission of Kamon. So that's clearly how they, and the context tells you how they understood the Machlokas Rav and Levi. That I think is clear. That's why it was so important to me to know, in a certain sense, where the Mishnah break was. But it's very clear, I think, that it's going on Kamon, the Reach of Kamon. So Rav and Levi have a machlokas. Now, one might then take the next step. The question you have to ask is, and the Mishonim do discuss this, why isn't Rav against the Mishnah? No, isn't that a good kasha? It's brought on the Mishnah because it's the Shuvrech. Isn't the Mishnah Rai against Rav? Ari?
So there's two things you could say. Either you could say Rav was Hadar from Rav went back on the Shita, which is what we would say from Hensha. Perhaps we could say from Hensha. Or you could say that perhaps Rav would say that
Yes, go ahead.
Rav would say that the case of the Mishnah is only Reach is only Lav Milsa because Truma is Mutter Bahana. And
so is Nevela.
So
between you and me, Beinenu, we've served up a fat hanging curveball and somebody needs to just knock it out of the park. We've just answered two questions with one stone. Why did the Bavli say that according to Rav, see, the Yushalmi allows us to think that Rav holds it across the board, Chusha and Shmena. It doesn't make a difference what it is, it's Aser. The Bavli says that according to Rav, if they're both Chusha, it doesn't say it, but it makes it very clear, if they're both Chusha, then even Rav is mode that it's Mutter. Why? How did the Bavli know that? That's a nice far after the fact. What compelled them to do that? They did scientific experiments? No, guys. Now it's like over the middle plate. It's frozen. You just hit it. Because they were bothered by what? The Mishnah! What is Rav going to do with the Mishnah? It's Beferish in the Mishnah that Reach is Mutter. So the answer is Kamon. It's not an Isser Shamein. It could very well be that the overlay of Shemain and Chusha is responding preemptively to the question of the Mishnah. That obviously Rav only said his din by an Isser Shamein. Could be. I can't prove that, but that makes a lot, to me, makes a lot of sense.
But it doesn't say what's on the Tanna. It just says, Shesik of the Tanna. What if you had...
But it doesn't matter, because you have to come up, because the case that they argued about was Basar, which is a likely candidate to be Shamein. So the argument might be, what do you mean it doesn't say what? What do you... You read Mishnayos almost as well as I do. Okay, we're even now. That's okay. That's only because I looked over first before you did. I forgot too what was there. Pass. By the way, in Yoredeya, even though the Ramah is Machmir in this whole subject of Isser Shamein and Kachush, one thing that is said as an explicit example is Davar Kachush, is Chametz on Pesach. Pass. Right? So Pass is a Davar Shamein. Kamon is a Davar Kachush. So the answer is, but in fact, those words are Perish in the Mishnah. The Mishnah too, Dvarim Kushim. So of course Rav's not arguing with that. So it's funny, the Gemara does bring the Mishnah in the discussion where it doesn't bring it at all in Psachim because they preempted the question. It does bring it in Avodah Zarah because there you're not dealing with an Isser Shamein. Okay. That's why I need Talmidim and that's why you sometimes need a Rebbe. Or you just need a Chavrusa. That's all. Okay. Yes, Ben, you want to argue. It's too good.
No.
Too neat, yes, okay.
It's very nice. But why do we have to say that it's specifically about fat? Well, cumin is only the case that's brought in the Mishnah because it has a specific property. And it doesn't have to do with fat. If you cook something in the oven after or at the same time as cumin, then the specifically that thing,
yeah,
which has a distinctive, very strong scent, is going to affect the other thing that's cooking at the same time in the oven. But if you have two pieces of bread, you might not even get to the question.
You're asking a different question.
Right.
No, hold on. We'll move past this point, right? So you're questioning, though, maybe the whole thing isn't relevant because...
The whole reason the Mishnah uses the case of cumin is because it has a scent which you have to worry about, and a normal thing in the oven.
And still it's Mutter. But then Rav holds that two pieces of meat, which you're not going to be able to smell, the Isser. And still it's Aser. So, that's worse. You made the problem worse. But if you say, the way I'm saying, that there's a difference between a Davar Shamein, that the Bavli's, the whole point of the Bavli, explaining the Machlokas when there's at least one Davar Shamein there, is to preemptively answer the question for the Mishnah. So then the answer is it's not a function of Tom. It's a function of it's not a function of being two different things. It's a function of whether or not one has invested the other with some type of smell, flavoring, or whatever else. And even if you can't distinguish it, it's still there. I know that's a general problem in Domino, right? And that you can't tell the difference.
Okay.
Fine. Any questions on the Yerushalmi?
No.
Any questions that we haven't addressed already, even if we haven't answered to your satisfaction? That's what I really mean. Yes, sorry.
Why? If that's true about the Mishnah of Kamon, then why wouldn't the Gemara and Avodah Zarah reference the Machlokes in Rashi? That's the question.
Well, that's a good kasha. That's something. Well, let's wait. But in other words, that's a general question.
Abaye gives this really duchuk answer. Why wouldn't he just give the answer? It's published.
Wait. That argument with you, you're saying, is a good question. We have to. Let's first read the Bavli now. We haven't put the pieces of the Bavli together yet. So first, we want to read the Sugya and Avodah Zarah. Yes, Avi.
What do you think the word Sakhir?
Oh, I'm sorry, we didn't finish. We have a little more. Excellent question. I don't think we really know what it means. And the case is not entirely clear. However, it is savory that was soaked in water. Savory, according to our culinary expert, is a spice.
Yeah. So I just got a book on spices
off my knee. Jason, you have 100% nemonis. I don't question it for a second. I'd be curious to say, I wouldn't be surprised if I go into my spice cabinet home, and in fact, it's there. Somehow, it rings a bell, but I'm not sure. Savory.
I think it's
what?
Family.
Are you sure?
I saw a different, in one of the translations, it was like cabbage rings. Like some kind of.
Is it so rare?
No.
Ben, you're insisting that it's not there. You underestimate my wife.
I've been in your cabinet.
That's true, but I hope you don't remember everything you saw in there. And that's
where
we keep. That's where
back keep, where you keep.
That's
where
bodies buried. Yes, Jason.
Savory is an aromatic plant of the mint family, used as culinary herb.
Okay, I don't know what Ben's punishment is going to be if we find it. I bet you it's there. You just missed it.
You've got a signal. That's impressive.
No, it's on the dictionary.
Okay, fine.
I still think there was spice rack anyway.
Helping prepare for a sheer event. Okay. He wanted to see whether I require hashgacha on all my spices. Okay. It's okay. If you know enough Gemaras, you realize it could be much worse. All right. Anyway. Now, Meitzasri. What are Meitzasri? Savory soaked in water. Savory soaked in water.
Can I
get
Parish on that?
Another time.
Ravamar Asur, Shmuel Amar Mutar.
Okay, so Meitzasri obviously is somehow tied to the previous Machlokes.
Is it?
It's presumably related in some way, but it's not clear what. See, if it means you. The problem with saying that it's this spice soaked in water and you want to drink it, which it sounds like from the next line, Aichel Shmuel Rav. It's a little strange because why would anybody argue? How could anybody be mati that if the tzasre, if it's truma, why would it be mutter? It's more likely to some have something smelly. Is it mutter to smell or something like that? I don't know exactly what the machlokas is. So anyway,
and would we say that Tom here is kikar in regards to truma?
Why not? If you soaked it for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Why not? So Rav Amar so Shmuel Amar mutter Eichel.
Eichel. Eichel Shmuel Rav Meitzasri.
That's not clear what it means, that he gives him to eat or something. There is a story, but it's on a totally unrelated topic in a parakal Abasar about the possibility that Shmuel gave Rav something to eat by Dagim Sha'alu Bakara, whether he gave him something that maybe Rav should have held was Asur. There's a discussion. It's not at all similar to the Gemara. It's just, I don't think it's the same story at all, but it's hard to tell. There's not much information given here.
Did Rav gave something to Shmuel that Shmuel held was Asur or that Rav held?
Shmuel gave something to Rav that Rav held with us. It's a general rule. What's that? And he ate it without telling him, apparently. So it's either he ate it and Rav knew what he was eating and Rav realized that it should have been a problem, but obviously Rav didn't hold it was a problem, or he didn't tell Rav, which is strange. if Rav still held by his shita. As a general rule, if, even if you have a particular shita and a Rav that you rely upon in a particular food, if you know that other people are machmir, especially when it's something you should realize that somebody's machmir, then you shouldn't offer it to them without telling them. You should be aware, I follow so-and-so, obviously that's by something that's unusual. You don't have to assume that the Mechaber and the Ramah and the Shach all permit something that this person has in Chumrah. You're not Mechuyif to Bidikos, and maybe a person shouldn't have such Chumras if they're Mafreshim from the rest of Klal Yisrael. But in a situation where you know that you have a Shita...
Somebody asked about like filtering the water.
So I think that something like that, it's a courtesy to if you know that there are a lot of Rabbanim who say you need to filter the water. So even if you don't, you should tell them the water's not filtered if you want to get somebody else to drink or something like that. You know, so I suspect it all depends on. I suspect for the most part in Tinek, it's not really a big issue. So, but if you know, if you have someone who's Lubavitch...
We have friends in Tinek also who are not going to follow Israel. Or who's married children are not going to follow Israel.
That's fine. But I'm pointing, if you have someone who knows Machbit, so you should let them know. It also goes the other way. Someone should ask you whether or not if they have a particular chumrah which is not widely held, then they should just ask you whether there's an issue.
Like, let's say Sephardi, like if somebody's Sephardi, that they only halak.
Right. So if it's a you're dealing with Beis Yosef Glatz, so that you need to a person should say something. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Now the last passage in the Yerushalmi, Gad Chaim.
Hadin Tavaya Rav. A Rav Chia Barashe b'shem Rav
Mishager Leh
b'charuta.
Okay, now what words can we make out here? Hadain. Okay, we know what that means. What is Tavya? What does Tavi in Aramaic mean?
Roast.
Thank you.
What?
That's the Hebrew. I don't know if it has. That's interesting. I don't know if it has that meaning, but we saw that in Pesachim.
Yeah.
We saw Atve, right? In other words, Tesrav Yud means to be Tzelda. Don't ask me if I doubt there's any connection. Even though Tzadi and Tes can sometimes exchange, I don't think there's any connection between Tavi in Aramaic and Salah in Hebrew. But for the Purim commentator, you can make up something. So Hadain Tavya, which means something that was roasted. Rav Chia Bar Ashi b'shem Rav. We understand what those words mean. And notice he's quoting Rav. Rav is the one who holds that Recha is a problem. Mishager le becharusa. What is charusa? Becharusa means with, using a palm branch. Charayo shel dekel. That makes sense. Charayo shel dekel. Where's that from? So mishager, I think, is a word that you have in the Bavli as well. To something like clean out the oven, sweep out the oven. What's that? No. That went to my mind. What is the word to send? Shadar. Dalit. Shigar means that means to spit out. I mean, you could say it to send forward, but poletes is the term Rashi used. It means they throw him out of the country, huh? We don't want you here making trouble, so we give you a political point.
President Danishevsky said that it's because Shigar Alafeta always remains a connection to the mother. Shigar is supposed to
be the mother. Got it, okay. So maybe there is. I don't think it means to take something, it means to push something out of, is rather than to send, is the meaning of shagar. So shagar le mishagar le becharusa means he would clean out the oven with a palm branch. The way the Pnei Moshe explains it is that he would clean out the oven, meaning he would, which would mean probably cooling it down in between cooking. As if you had cooked one thing in there, he doesn't say what, but if you let's say somebody cooked with nevel in the oven, so then he would be Meshagar it with in between. Now, Ben?
Isn't that one of the things we learned from the from Rebbe's maid? the word for...
No, that's mitate.
Matate. Right, matate is a broom. But
oh, and the word is there,
mishaga
le kanura?
The thing that it's made out of is a palm branch.
What does that have to do with what? Anything?
That's what you do with a palm branch, is you sweep stuff.
How do you know that was with a palm branch?
Maybe it says.
it's Rosh Hashanah, right? You remember where Rosh Hashanah is? Can you hear me then?
For some reason, I...
Does anyone remember where this Gemara is?
They
see
her
Rosh Hashanah.
Sweeping out.
I know,
and they say, what do you call this thing?
Kava is the word.
They don't use
What's... Anyone where Gemara is? Is it Rosh Hashanah, no?
Yeah.
Ah, here it is. Kavava Mebeis. In Rosh Hashanah. Dehava Amr Slachaberta Shikoli Tatisei. The Tati Besa. Nope, they don't use any words there that would be. So therefore, they knew what Vititei Sia B'matate Hashmei.
Thank you.
Okay.
Fine.
I must have missed that reference. Okay. Anyway, fine. All right, so any more questions about the Yerushalmi? No. So the truth is, it's not clear what this Chumrah is exactly. See, one of the fascinating things is, what does the Yerushalmi hold about the oven? What does Rav hold about the oven according to the Yerushalmi? What happens if someone, a guy comes into your oven, he brings in his glot treif, pork, whatever, the whole pig, with an apple stuffed in the mouth, and he takes that the racks in your oven, he stuffs it in his pan in your oven. What do you do to the oven?
Sweep it out of the pot.
Exactly. Is the oven treif?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like it from the Gemara. Now,
do you know what type of walls these are?
Cheres.
These are Cheres.
What?
Doesn't this go against everything we know about Hashem?
So if you took the pig and you put it on the floor of the oven, that would be a different kasha. But you put it in another kli. It's not touching the oven. All you have is the rea.
So
even
if...
Well, if that means you got it on the bottom there. But of course, the fat dripping down, even orange probably is toasted pretty quickly. And it's not roi lachilas anything. Okay. However, what it appears from this then is that if you cook tray food in an oven, but it doesn't splatter on the oven, is the oven is kosher. Yes.
But the way we approach ovens nowadays, the recha or whatever you want to call it that comes out of the thing is the air. The oven is the thing which.
Who's wiki Mosadi?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We haven't gotten there yet. You haven't learned Simon Kuches yet. So, but your holy Shulchan Aruch, including my Rebbe, doesn't assume that the Reach alone answers.
Well, it's not necessarily Reach, but it's something.
I'm told that my Rebbe is one of the only people. I didn't learn this from my Rebbe. I just grew up with this, and everybody I know has, for the most part, one oven, and nobody has two separate ovens for milchiks and fleishiks. If they have two separate ovens, it's because they need more space to cook, not because they use one for milchiks and one for fleishiks. What's that? Or cook at the same time, which even Medina really should have been mutter in our ovens too. That's a side point. What's that? But this business, but your Shulchan Aruch does not say that you require two separate ovens by any stretch of the imagination. The chumrah is not to cook the two at the same time. So anyway, when we get to Simon Kuf Ches, you'll see that. Okay. Fine.
Steamy.
In fact, I don't think anybody had such chumrahs until recently, when people were wealthy enough to afford two ovens. There were some people, I shouldn't say that. Some Ramosha does talk about covering, you know, food when you cook it, but I'm not sure that was...
Two having two ovens and covering the food so it doesn't have steam.
I understand. So you could do without it, but I'm not sure that this was the Minhag Yisrael for... Since when, I don't know. Okay. All right, any questions now? Fine. Let's look a little bit of Avodah Zarah here. Gemara Avodah Zarah. If you happen to be learning this Masechta, just don't tell somebody that you're doing Avodah Zarah, okay? Because they might look at you funny.
Never get told.
Now, let's start on the bottom of Samach. The people, find your nearest Avodah Zarah, Bavli, and, I don't know how Palestinian idols differ from Babylonian idols, but find your nearest... Bavli.
Oh. Yeah, the Israeli ones are much, much more subtle.
I'm sorry?
Palestinian ones are much more subtle. one half of the sliding door and the other half of the sliding door.
No cigarettes required.
Okay. Now, what does anybody check the parallels in the Yerushalmi here? And Abu Dazara? Of course you didn't, Lamb. I know that. But that's not fair. I'm just being mean to you. But there are none. Okay? This is not a mission, remember. It's really a Sugyan Abu Dazara. You've gotten everything there is to get in the Yerushalmi. Okay? So I have to get back those, you know. Okay. So anyway. So let's read in the... Can somebody have seen the Gemara of Abu Dazara? Anybody? Alec, go ahead. I got you next, Jeremy. Yeah, chala lagav or lago chamra, chala. Chala?
Chala lago chamra, divrei kobano same
time. Yeah, be careful with that word. The word is chamra. Don't mix your chamra up with your chamara. Okay? vinegar did not fall on your donkey.
It's the vinegar that falls into wine, divrei kobano same time. Chamra lago chala. So wine that falls into vinegar, abaya amar b'masha, who barava amar b'no simcha.
Okay, so what's the backdrop to this Gemara? The backdrop is the machlokas on top of the Amud that we've mentioned a couple of times during the semester. And that is, when you say that min b'mino is not batel, how do you, no matter how much you have, how do you determine what is min b'mino? Is that basar shma or basar taima? So Rava said basar taima, Abaya said basar shma. Rava said basar shma, Abaya said basar taima. Now, so what happens here? You have vinegar that falls into wine. Everybody agrees that it's beno saint tam, which means what? Everybody agrees that this is called min kishein omino. All right? Does vinegar and wine have the same shame? No. Do vinegar and wine have the same taste? No. Okay, so that makes sense. Now, what about the other side? What type of vinegar
wine
was
vinegar?
Virtually always referred to in the Gemara?
Wine
vinegar. Wine vinegar. See, the way where our kashrus nightmare, year-round and Pesach are two different things. Year-round, it's wine vinegar because of Stam Yenam. At Pesach time, wine vinegar is the simplest vinegar to have as long as it's, you know, not a problem with Stam Yenam. Right? Because you don't have to worry about, you know, what kind of grain or kidneys it might have come from. Okay?
That's going to be significant.
Yes. I don't know. I'm not aware of any other vinegar that's spoken of in the Gemara. I don't mean that to say that I've checked this out, but my impression is that every time vinegar is discussed, it's often in the context of wine that turned to vinegar.
Red wine
vinegar. What? Well, we have red wine vinegar, but for them, it could have. I don't know. Maybe you could have white wine vinegar too. I have no idea.
You can.
I don't know which theirs was, but it was wine vinegar, whatever color. Okay? I mean, why? I'm not sure what your...
Because if the yain that fell in was a white wine, then it would still be min
b'mino. I don't know if we would say white wine and red wine are probably min b'mino. Wine is the tam.
Right.
Wine, and they taste enough alike.
What was it that we did in the very beginning of the year with colors?
I know. I'm sorry to insult the wine connoisseur, but Chazal did not, I think, distinguish any... You know, the assumption was there was wine and there was not wine. You know, grape juice was not wine. Wine was wine. I don't know. The Gemara doesn't give an impression of being worried about how aged they were. Fermented and not fermented. For commercial, only in the commercial context. Once you get beyond 40 days, the only distinction that I'm aware of is in the context of commerce.
And talking about fermented, not fermented?
No.
No, I'm serious.
That's not a halachic context. I agree. The reason why Bava Basra comes up is because the Lashon Bnei Adam, people understand there's wine that's been aged more and wine that's aged less. And that's all that they're talking about in Pirkei Avos. Right? That's the context of Bnei Adam. It's not a fundamental, it's not a halachic distinction between the two. For the purposes of the Mizbeach, once it reaches 40 days, it can be poured on the Mizbeach. That's the Mishnah in the sixth parak in Adios. That's all. That's all I was saying. Okay? So what happens if the wine falls into the vinegar? So Abaye, here they argue. Abaye Rav Mashu, Rav Amaro Sein Tam. So, of course, Abaye is the strange one. You know, this is sort of like This is sort of like, I'll give you a mashal derech b'dichusa and a mashal serious one. You know, the rabbi of Chelm calls his star pupil in to introduce to the visitor to show him how wise he is, and he asks the Talmud, how far is it from Chelm to Warsaw? The Talmud says 8 miles. How far is it from Warsaw to Chelm? The Talmud says 4 miles. The visitor says, "What? How can that be?" He says, "Explain to him, Chaim." So he says, "Yeah, because from Pesach to Chanukah is 8 months. From Chanukah to Pesach is 4 months. There you go." So, but I'll serious, al derech halacha. So I hold, and my Rebbe was maskim to this, that if you start Shabbos in yeshiva, so you're not allowed to walk to Riverdale. If you start Shabbos in Riverdale, you're allowed to walk to yeshiva. Okay, that's how the tchum works out. The funny shape of the Bronx. The box that you draw around Riverdale and the Bronx, probably, I assume, that maybe even not so, but there's a possibility you draw the box around the whole Bronx, because it's only the river that breaks it, and therefore you get Manhattan up to 125th Street, and then your tchum begins. Whereas if you start in YU, you definitely draw the box around Manhattan, and you're still at the southern tip of, I mean, you can get, you maybe can cross the Henry Hudson Bridge, depends how broad that is, but that's about as far as you could go. Okay, so those who disagree, but that's what I hold, that's what my Rebbe was masking to. That's the thing. So in this particular case, how can it be? If Chamra, if Chala Lego Chamra is Mimishen Umino, how can Chamra Lego Chala be Mimimino according to Abaye? So the Gemara explains, Abaye Amar
Masha.
So Abaye says that if something smells one way, even though it still retains the taste, a different taste, namely if wine already smells like vinegar, even though the taste, when you taste it and you get beyond the smell, you realize it tastes like wine. So he says the din is
still vinegar.
He says it's already called vinegar, and therefore it's vinegar falling into vinegar. Now I am bothered profoundly by a question which is really not relevant to our sugya.
First of all, the reality is like,
forget the reality question. Okay, so let's say, what does it mean that reche chala v'tame chamra is chala? It means it is vinegar? No, it's not vinegar. It tastes like wine. What does it mean? What does it mean? It is vinegar.
It is the din of vinegar from Mimino.
That makes no sense. How do you determine Mimino? Either. So what would you say? You'll say that people call it vinegar. Once it smells like vinegar, people say, that's vinegar already.
Because nobody would treat it like wine. It
right. I have only one problem with that. Abaye holds it as lino basar taima, not basar shma. I don't know. I know it's not our issue right now. Obviously, the only thing that's important right now is Abaye, unless it turns out later to be essential, but I don't think so. Abaye holds that you go basar recha, that the reach, the fact that, now, how does it get a reach of vinegar? Because the vinegar is giving off reach, not in a way that wine apparently doesn't. So as the wine falls in, before it hits the surface, it absorbs, it is perfumed with the smell of vinegar. I don't know what the better word is for that. It is infused. It is, I don't know, whatever. It is infused with the smell of vinegar, and therefore it's called vinegar, and therefore it's Mimino. And Rava says, as you would expect, that it's not called, it doesn't taste like vinegar, and it's not called vinegar until it actually mixes in. And Rava holds, therefore it is Mino Saint Tom. Okay, because Rava Amar, finish reading.
Rava Amar ben Osein Tam, Rechen Chalav et Tam Achamra, Tam, Vahavle Mim V'Sheinu Mino, Vechol Mim V'Sheinu Mino, Ben Osein Tam.
Okay, so what exactly is the Machlokas about?
Whether that's Mim V'Mino, would this be one Nekuda within the bigger Machlokas of Aslin and Basa Tam, Aslin and Basa Shema, that Abai would say that even Reach qualify as Tam?
Maybe, but I think forget the previous sugya. What does this have to do with the sugya of Recha Milsa?
Whether it can transform its status. Whether or not the Reach can transform its status halakhically.
What does this have to do with Recha Milsa? On my own, I would have said absolutely nothing. Because after all, this is not what we say. When the Rav says that if Yitzil Nevelu Mishchut Tzasa, what does that mean? Let's say, for argument's sake, I take a piece of cheese. I have this crazy idea, and I decide to cut up some hot peppers, really small, and blend it in with the cheese while it's still, you know, being formed, while it's still solidifying. Thank you, Jason. I'm well aware of that, okay? I'm not a total culinary ignoramus. Okay. So, you might have seen me occasionally have it for lunch. So let's say I have. So what is this? Is this pepper jack or is it pepper jack cheese? Of course it's cheese. The discussion of Recha Milsa, I would have thought, is not whether or not the substance there is now changed. The question is whether or not the smell is some considered tam. It's the equivalent of tam. To borrow the Mishnah's formulation, she'ein tam kamon ela reach kamon. Rav and Abaye argue about something else. We don't even understand Abaye b'chlal. But it has nothing to do with whether Recha Milsa. This has nothing to do with Isser Veheter, even. When it comes to Basar Nevela, Basar Shchuta, it's not about the shame, it's about the tam. So I just want to point out, we'll stop with this, but that initially at least, obviously we're learning this Gemara because it has something to do with Recha Milsa. But, at least on the surface, this has nothing to do with the general question of Recha Milsa or not. It has to do with Rabbi says Rechichala Vitame Chamra. Right? It's Tom. Tom is what determines things, not Rech, alright?
If anything, we both agree that Rech is a Milsa, but that doesn't really matter.
For the purposes of Taroves. And for the purposes of making something usser. It might have influence, I would have thought it has influence on shame. So we have to work this out a little bit more. But you have to work that piece out. Why is this going to become relevant to the question of Recha Milsa or not? Because on the surface, there's a very major disconnect. Okay. Any questions so far?
Did they recognize a connection, any connection at all between... It's just not meant for like that. Did they recognize any questions at all, any connection at all between Rea and Tom? In other words, like we're saying how, in reality, like 90% of taste is smell. You know, did they recognize any connection?
I don't think so. They did see a connection between sight and taste.
Right.